Hello, and welcome back, unicorns. If you're new here,
hi, I'm Vanessa,
a mom, a woman rebuilding her life, and someone who's officially stopped pretending I have it all figured out. And if you've been here for a while, you already know that I'm moving away from safe conversation. And today's episode might make some people a little uncomfortable. That's usually how I know I'm onto something. Because today we're talking about why I'm dating without intention. If you listen to my previous episode, you know that my new resolution is to receive. And receive I shall. And why it's actually the healthiest thing I've ever done for myself. Before anyone gets traumatic, no, I'm not anti-love. No, I am not anti-marriage. And absolutely, I am not saying kids ruin your life, because they don't. What I'm saying is that rushing into relationships because you're afraid to be alone is one of the biggest lies we were ever sold. I know this because I do see a lot of women rush into relationship after relationship simply because they're afraid of being alone. And I've watched so many women around me live this too when it comes to getting married young, having kids young. I love being a mom. But like I said, I waited till I was 37 to have my first child. But I also know moms who were never really asked what they wanted. They were just told what comes next. Marriage, kids, repeat. And now they're sitting there thinking, wait, when do I get to live? So yeah, we're going to talk about the freedom, fear, glow up, regret, self-love, and why choosing yourself suddenly makes people uncomfortable. Especially in the Hispanic community. Women are raised to endure, take it all in. So if this sounds like your kind of episode, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. This might be where people start to get mad at me. Because once you see it, you can't unsee it. A long time ago, I read this book, The Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz. He has many amazing books, but this one is one of my favorites. Besides The Four Agreements. If you ever heard of The Four Agreements, that is Don Miguel Ruiz. And he also wrote The Mastery of Love. And it talks about how we are conditioned from childhood to believe that love must be a certain way. That love must look a certain way. That for in order for you to be loved, you have to also act a certain way. That's when they introduce domestication. Kind of like a puppy. They tell you to sit down, don't speak up. Don't do that. Don't run in public. They teach you from a very young age to start putting all these rules from society, from parents, from how you should behave, what you should do, how you should act. When all you want to do as a child is be free. You came here to be free. Your soul came here to explore, to create. Yet they tell us to sit in class, pay attention, don't speak up, don't use your brain. Type of thing. And you're rewarded when you follow the script. You're rewarded when you do as you're told. And then when you're not, you're punished by society. You're criticized. You're punished by your parents. You're punished by the teachers. And this is taught at an early age. So much of what we call love goals is actually just conditioning that we never questioned. It's a conditioning our parents, society, and everybody started to place upon us when we were just children. In order for your parents to love you, how to be a good girl or a good boy. And I understand I have a son now. There's certain things I have to teach him as well. But telling him that finding the one person that's going to love him for the rest of his life is his ultimate goal in this world is not it. I love being a mom. It's one of the most rewarding things I've done. But loving my child doesn't mean loving every version of the life that we were sold. Loving my child doesn't mean that I have to stay in a certain marriage to show him how much I love him. Loving my child doesn't mean that I have to sacrifice who I am as a person, as a woman, as a human for him. A lot of women were never even asked, what do you want in out of life before they had kids and got married? They were just told, go to school. It's funny because they say, go to school, get good grades, get a good job, then get married and then stay home. So it's like, what's the point of all that if you're just going to go be a wife? Which is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with being a wife. Trust me, there's nothing wrong with it. I love that role as well. But you don't have to rush to it. Like, that's not the ultimate thing. That is not something, it's like the faster you, the quicker you get there, you're the winner kind of thing. Like, the sooner you get there is because you're better than others. No, that has nothing to do with it. Loving your kids doesn't equal loving the structure that you were rushed into. You can love your kids and still be frustrated. The one thing I'm dreading is my cousins, when they were younger, they would go to soccer every single Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. every single day. Soccer, soccer, soccer. And that's like, oh my God, I don't think I want any of that. And it's okay. You don't have to want it. I don't have to want it for sure. But of course, if my son wants to play soccer, we'll find a way when that time comes. But that's why I waited so long to have kids. I knew for a fact that once I had a child, I knew my life was going to be his life. All his needs were going to come before mine. And that I understood, which is why I waited so long. One. Two, also, it wasn't like I could just have an accident and get pregnant. Since, you know, the lesbian part. But I do see a lot of my friends or cousins who started having kids very young, at an early age. And now, let's say they're mid-30s, they have a 3 or 5-year-old, and they are miserable. They get frustrated, they yell, they scream. And it's not the kid's fault, and it doesn't mean that they don't love their child. I'm sure they love their children. It's just harder because it's not something that they were told that this was going to happen. Especially if you're someone who was used to hanging out with friends, traveling, having girl night, having events with your friends and going out. And now you have a kid and you can't do any of it. And if you do, you're a bad mother. If you do, it's because you chose to leave your kids with somebody or hand them over to someone else to raise. I understand that not everybody is lucky enough to be able to stay home with your kids. People have to work. Totally agree with that. But make sure that you're ready to make that sacrifice. I just want women to understand that you can do it in your late 30s. You don't have to start in your 20s. You can do it whenever you want, whenever you're ready. Just don't make it your ultimate goal. Just don't feel bad for not having that yet at any age. Don't feel bad for not having it at any age. And don't feel bad for not wanting kids. A lot of women nowadays that just simply don't want kids. My mother is like, oh, I can't believe you're never going to have a kid. And that's so sad. And I'm like, why? Why is that sad? Who told you that her life is any less because she doesn't have a child? That really bothers me. Because at one point, my mom used to tell me that. She couldn't believe I was never going to be a mother. She couldn't believe it. It was just so sad. A tree that doesn't bear fruit is not a good tree. I was like, there's plenty of trees out there that give you beautiful, amazing oxygen. And some trees are just gorgeous to look at. There's flowers that are just beautiful to admire and look at. That doesn't mean they're any less than a tree. And these are all the things that her parents told her. These are all the things that were passed down to her. So it's hard, you know, when I don't want to judge my mom because that's what she was taught. But at the same time, we're not in the same society. We're not in the same realm of comprehending things. I want to question every single thing because I want to do whatever comes from inside me. Naturally, genuinely, that it makes me happy. And for so long, kids didn't do that for me. Not until I was 35 when I was like, okay, I think I want to do this. I think I really want to be a mom. And then I got pregnant. And honestly, that whole time I was like, oh my God, what did I do? I wasn't ready. And then the baby comes and still, like, I think I had a little bit of postpartum that I was like, here's your child, take him away. I don't want him. But now I'm like, okay, the hormones are out of my system and it's like the best thing ever. But I had the chance to live my life. Even now, after the breakup, I'm not trying to rush back into another relationship. Being single is not like a scarlet letter or a scarlet, you know, like the A. Being single is not a bad thing. I honestly am enjoying it a lot. Don Miguel Ruiz talks about how suffering comes from expectations. All these expectations people put on you, that you have to live up to them. It's what is causing your suffering. But if you just take those expectations away and start living your life for yourself, then there is no suffering. And some of these are inherited instead of a choice because they told you when you were little. And so it starts to grow into resentment. Love without awareness becomes an obligation. You can love your child deeply and still mourn the life you never gave yourself permission to explore. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying that during that time frame when you're like, it's all about my kid, it's okay to feel that way. And like I said, a lot of these timelines come from your parents, your society. You're supposed to get married at this age. Or I hear a lot of men, or not Hispanic men, but a lot of like white men say, oh, women after 30, they're like no good anymore. Or women with kids are no good anymore. I'm like, well, no wonder you guys are all single, first of all. Second of all, marriage by a certain age, according to who? Says who? Kids by a certain age, says who? Like, where do we get these ugly timelines that honestly make no sense? Because time is, well, first of all, time is an illusion. But timelines don't equal truth. Those are just rules placed on us by society, by your parents. So rushing into partnership to avoid loneliness creates more suffering. This is why I'm choosing to date for self-knowledge. Because choosing a partner just to avoid being alone is going to end up in the old cycle of suffering. Then you wonder why you keep getting into these relationships where you have the same scenario, but there's just a different person. Because you don't give yourself time to discover, wait, how was this? Did I like this? What did I like? What did I not like? Cool. What do I want next? Choosing based off simply what I don't want, like, oh, I just don't want to get beaten, or I just don't want to get cheated on, or I just don't want someone who's mean or narcissistic. Just choosing based on that isn't going to equal a healthy relationship, a happy relationship. Because I feel like a lot of people don't even fall in love. They panic and they settle. They're like, well, this is it. I got this one. Not letting him go, even though I don't really like him. But I have him and he's mine and he's not going anywhere. Because what if I don't find somebody else? They spend years in these relationships and then they call it love. So I'm saying this for all of my beautiful people out there, especially my women, so they can first discover who they want to be, what they want to do, how they want to do it at any age. There's no age limit. There's no time limit. It says you have to be here by this time, if not, you're a failure. No. Not everyone who has kids actually wants their life. They were just told to want it. And then I see a lot of my friends, for example, in their 40s, you know, and their kids are now older, and their husbands fumbled them, and they have the most amazing glow-ups. It's honestly amazing, but I love it. And so it's a period of transition where if you're not happy, don't worry, in your 40s, you might get divorced and you have the most amazing glow-up ever. But yeah, they're like 40s, or kids are now older, they end up getting a divorce. So what happens when you get a divorce is the other parent now has to show up on his own and they have to take the child. Then you get some of these amazing days off where you get to do whatever you want. No cooking, no cleaning for anyone but yourself. And so people want to tell me, oh, poor you, you got divorced. When in reality, it's like, no, yay me. I'm choosing the life I want. I have the help I need. I get to do all these amazing things now. I'm like loving the fact that I get to travel with my girls, with my sister. I get to have days off. Everything that you would want and ideally expect from your partner to be able to give you when you're together, sometimes when they don't, God finds a way to give it to you. When they don't show up the way they're supposed to, God finds a way for it to happen. Now, let me be very clear. There's also women out there that have beautiful marriages, loving partners, healthy families, and I admire them deeply. That is the goal someday. Because eventually, nonstop traveling is going to get old. Eventually, you're going to want to build a home, have roots. If not, you can continue to travel all your life. But the problem isn't motherhood. The problem isn't marriage itself. The problem is rushing into it before you know yourself, before you realize that you traded your freedom for a lie, before it hurts in a way people don't talk about it, because then they feel ashamed. Mothers feel ashamed to say, man, I wish I would have waited. Man, I wasn't ready for this. Still in the Hispanic community, I see it all the time. The woman is the one cooking. The woman is the one cleaning. A lot of times the woman is also working. And, you know, breastfeeding the kids, having the kids. We are the ones doing all the actual physical and mental work. Because who does the doctor's appointment? Most of the time, the doctor's appointment, the bills, all these things like the check, 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 check. I read this post a couple of days ago where it says that my husband is out of town for the week. And yes, I have so much more work that is going to fall on me. But she's like, I'm so much happier because I don't have to think that I have to tell you what to do, that I have to ask you to put the shoes on for him, that I have to ask you to get his lunch ready, that I have to ask you if you did this, if you did that. She just knows I got this. This is what I'm doing. This is how I'm doing it. No need to worry about the husband because he doesn't just get up and do it. He doesn't know how to do it on their own. And husbands can sit there and be like, well, what do you want from me? Just tell me what you want. I'll do it. It's like, that's not the point. I don't want to have to tell you what to do. I want you to be able to think for yourself and do it on your own. Or for example, think of me. Think of, hey, this is the woman I chose to have my children and give me a family. I wonder what she might need. I wonder what she might crave, desire. How can I make her happy today? And after a while, it's unfortunate, but yeah, it stops happening. It stops happening. This is where the separation comes. This is why a lot of people end up divorced. And, or if they stay, they stay because they don't want to have a failed marriage, like a failed. To a certain point, I'm grateful for what happened. Everything that happened in my marriage is not ideal and not pleasant, but it's a lesson. And I have a baby, a beautiful, gorgeous baby came out of that love. So that itself, I'm grateful that I went through it. And now that we are co-parenting, after you get divorced, the co-parenting happens. And that's where the other partner, like I said, has to show up, which means you get days off, you get space, you get to remember who you are outside of being everything for everyone else, outside of being a mom, outside of being a wife. And I joke about it sometimes, but honestly, it's like a life hack for some women. It really is. It's a life hack. Not ideal, but it's like when life hands you lemons, you bring out the tequila. Type of thing. So this is why my main thing is don't rush it. Don't feel guilty for dating just to get to know yourself. I do not feel guilty for getting to know myself. A lot of people won't understand it because it's like you need to get married. And especially for women, they want to villainize everything that we do because we're women. Like, oh, you shouldn't be dating, or you shouldn't be going on 2 dates in 1 week, or you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. Like, who? Why? Who said that? If it's something you yourself know in your heart and soul feel the urge to do, feel like it's good for you, then do it. You don't have to ask permission from anybody. Everybody has their own moral compass internally. Internally. And that's the only person you have to answer to, yourself. When you go to bed at night, are you comfortable with who you are? Great. When you wake up every morning, are you glad of who you see in the mirror? Do you love yourself for your choices? Great. If not, change it. But don't do it because other people make you feel guilty or because we're women and for some reason we shouldn't be sexual beings. That's what I meant. As much as I am enjoying it, I do understand that I probably won't talk about it with my mom often. I haven't really gone on any dates, but anyway, the dates that I'm going on, eventually, I'm calling it in. It's going to happen. And I'll let you guys know all about it when I do. I have my own moral compass and I understand. Yes, dating doesn't mean sleeping with people, by the way. When you go on a date, for me, it does not mean sleeping with them. If a person expects sex the first night that you go on a date with, run. Probably shouldn't be dating someone like that. If they assume this right off the bat in the first date, no. But I don't think, how do I say it? If you're dating, everyone's different. If you're dating for marriage, obviously don't do that. If you'll treat, men are going to respect women that respect themselves. And if you're dating for marriage, this is just a marriage tip. If you're dating for marriage, please, 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 please act like a wife. Walk into a room like a wife. Hang out with people and make sure they see you as wifey material. Because that's your intent. Your intent is to be a wife, someone's wife, if that's what you want. Present yourself as so. Don't be sleeping around with all the friend group and then wonder why none of them want to marry you. That's just a simple given fact. But if you're dating to get to know people, then do that. Get to know them. Get to know them on a different level, not just sexual. What are your goals? What do you want in a life? Ask those kind of questions. What do you enjoy? Can you sit there? If you can't hang out with someone and simply enjoy their company without any alcohol, without any substances, with the just genuinely friends first, how do you expect them to be a partner? Doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. So, yes, we're dating with no intention of marriage. We're dating to rediscover. I'm dating to rediscover me. I'm dating with no intention of marriage. I don't think if you don't agree with me, then I completely understand. I know everybody has their own point of view and their own moral compass. I am on my own journey. And just like I chose an amazing partner before to have my child with, because they are an amazing person to have a child with, I've learned to trust myself and know that I will choose another amazing partner when the time comes. Not just for myself, but for my child, because the stakes are higher now, so much higher. But that only means that the reward's going to be so much better. That's all that means. It's not a bad thing. It's not something to feel guilty about. It's not something to rush into. Especially, do not rush into it just because you're lonely. A lot of people go back with their exes because they're afraid of being alone or they're in pain. And yes, that pain sucks. I went through it. Like, that pain is horrible because you just wanted to stop. When you're heartbroken and that pain hits you, it is so painful and you feel like you're gonna die. You're having literally physical withdrawals of the human that you were so attached to, the relationship, everything, that a lot of times you just give in and go back. I did it before. But all that does is start the cycle again. You're going to end up back where you were. And then you're going to have to make the choice again. Do I give in and go back and start the cycle again? If you continue to do that, that pain will never stop. So you have the choice. Go back, stop the pain now and go back and feel the pain over and over. Or stick it out. Feel the pain. Push through to the other side of happiness, joy, and something way better. Something that you truly deserve. One pain will stop. The other one won't. This one will stop. This one won't. If you go back, the pain will be there. If you move forward, the pain will eventually stop. Yes, it's excruciating because you literally are going through withdrawals from a breakup. But eventually, your body regulates itself. Time heals it all. And you will be okay. The pain will stop. This is why I don't believe we should rush into partnerships. Of course, choosing the right person is always the ultimate goal. Of course, love matters. I love love. I've said this so many times. But urgency ruins everything. Just ruins it. Dating with intention gives you the chance to ask yourself, do I actually want this kind of life? Do I see myself in the future with this kind of person? Or am I just trying to escape the loneliness? Am I choosing the script that I want to write for my life, or am I following the script that was given to me? Do you like that script? Do you like the life? You are here to create your life. You're here to create your rules. You're here to create the most amazing creation that you want, an extraordinary one. But for that, you have to develop an extraordinary mindset. Because the women I see thriving, and they are a lot, they didn't rush. They chose consciously, but most importantly, they chose themselves first. Marriage and kids aren't a prize you win for being a good woman. They're a lifestyle you choose when it actually aligns with who you are. So I, if anything, recommend my How to Attract Your Ideal Partner. It's a super easy, quick ebook that I have, and it's three simple questions. What do you want out of your ideal partner? What do you not want out of your ideal partner? Get very clear on what do you absolutely not want out of that partner? And finally, who do you have to become to attract them? It always comes back to you. The woman that chose themselves and got clear on what they wanted are the ones that are thriving. Normally, now they're like in their 40s, 42. I see a lot of them. I think it's so awesome. Can't wait till I get to my 40s, which are right around the corner. But literally, they're in such great shape. Because on the days off, when the other parent has them, you get to do whatever you want. A lot of them choose to go back to the gym because they want to work on themselves. They love themselves, right? They're learning to love themselves all over again. Like for me, I love going to the gym. When I don't have my son, when he's with his mother, I don't have to worry about childcare. I can go to any class at any time. And that is just freaking amazing. Like Bikram Yoga. Bikram Yoga doesn't have a childcare option. So I cannot go unless he's with his mom, because I'm not taking him to his grandma's and bringing him a bag. It's just crazy. But when he's with his mom, perfect. I get to go maybe 2-3 times a week. And that is such a gift that you can give yourself, first of all. And then you get to make friends and you get your sense of self back. If you're listening to this and you have a wife, please, 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 give them a day where they can just go and do whatever they want without having to work on the cooking and the cleaning. If you did this already, I commend you. I applaud you. Thank you for taking care of your goddess, because that's what she is. She's your wife. She's your goddess. Thank you for doing that. If you don't, it won't hurt. And it doesn't have to be once a week. It could be once a month. It could be once every 2 weeks. Give them the opportunity to refine themselves, and I promise this is going to make your marriage and your household so much happier and so much better, if it's not already. Just a simple tip, because a lot of the times we just want to be able to be ourselves again as a woman, to show up as my feminine energy, the one you fell in love with in the beginning. So I hope this episode moved you. I hope they changed your mind, and I hope this sparked some interest. So if you're still here, thank you so much for staying to the end of the episode. You know the drill, send it to anyone that needs to hear it. And remember, unicorns do exist. You're listening to one. Bye.